Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips of the BC. It is Saturday, the 22nd of March, Anno Domini 2014. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. This is a sad story. A change that Apple imposed to make iOS 7 more secure instead has dramatically weakened the security of devices that run that operating system. At the CanSec West conference last week, Azimuth security researcher Tarjay Mant said that Apple made a major mistake when it changed its random number generator to make its kernel encryption tougher in iOS 7. The kernel is the most basic level of an operating system and controls things like security, file management, and resource allocation. In terms of security, it's much worse than iOS 6, Mant said. Soon after his presentation Wednesday in the Grand Ballroom of the Sheraton Walls Center, he published his presentation slides and supporting white paper as evidence. And in a testament to the enduring challenges of getting mobile security right, other presentations at CanSec West also called attention to flaws in the Android and in the BlackBerry 10 mobile OSs. The technical and complicated change boils down to how Apple calculates randomly generated numbers used in the encryption of the kernel. If the numbers can be guessed, their randomness is irrelevant, and the kernel, key to controlling the computer, in this case the iOS phone or tablet, can be compromised. Apple, he explained, recognized that the method of generating random numbers in iOS 6 could be improved upon. Its security engineers leveraged the phone's CPU clock counter on earlier versions of iOS, Mant said. That's not very good, but still somewhat unpredictable, he said. The problem with the new generator in iOS 7 is that it uses a linear recursion algorithm, Mant said, which has more correlation between the values it generates. This makes them easier to extrapolate and guess. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is iOS 7 just became a lot less secure. And your choices are, oh, great. Sigh. Hey, accidents happen. And iOS what now? So far, we have 35 votes, and naturally, most of you could not care less about iOS. Followed by sigh and hey, accidents happen. And only six of you think, great. But I know you'll have more to say about that. So when you're done with that, check the forums. If you go down the right-hand column under fascinating stuff, you will see the forums. And if you check the poll discussion forum, you will see 22 March 14, iOS 7 just became a lot less secure. And of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
One thing else, you know, back in the day, you know, they were really pushing to go to, you know, the desktops and everything else, but Apple right now is mainly tablets.
Yeah.
Tablets and their phones. Computers, yeah, they did that, even Steve Ray can tell you, you know, before he was always 1 week after another bringing out, oh, well, this new box is coming out and it's going to do these features and this and that. You don't hear him doing that anymore.
No, they're very...
very low-key as far as the desktop boxes. Everything's going tablet.
Well, and not only is everything going tablet, but even the tablets, people are beginning to grumble that really since the iPad...
Mm-hmm.
Apple hasn't brought out anything new. You know, there have been bigger iPads, smaller iPads, iPads with phones in them, but no new... That was exciting, innovative, world-changing.
Right.
And since then, yeah, not so much.
They're getting almost like Microsoft.
Well, that's what people are beginning to say.
And, yeah, because, you know, I mean, Microsoft, what have they brought out? You know, after Windows 7, which was a vast improvement over everything else, all they did with Windows 8 is put a different interface. It was still Windows 7 with a different interface. And, it could be like treat like a tablet on your desktop, which most folks are saying, heck no. Exactly. Don't want that.
Exactly.
Well, at least not until all the desktops have touchscreens on them.
Right. And who's going to want to reach over their desk if I'm sitting comfortable in my chair, reaching over to touch the monitor? Because usually that's a few feet away from me. You're not sitting right up there, you know, right in your face.
Not all the time, but I can see occasions, and I do it now, where I'm used to my iPad. And so when I'm on the laptop, I'll try to touch the screen because that's how the iPad was working a minute ago when I was using it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know,
so if you're an iPad user,
right.
If you're a tablet user.
Right. So, and sometimes, you know, just tapping a button if I want to go there instead of mousing up to it. I remember the olden days when 20-inch monitors were first started to get popular. People had, a lot of people like trackballs.
Yep.
Which is a mouse upside down.
Yeah.
The mouse stays still and the ball moves because you could flick the ball. And it would keep spinning, and the cursor could jump all the way across that 20-inch screen because it was so huge.
Yep. The most disruptive technology I'm seeing out there right now, Chromebooks.
Oh, really?
Because they're so very different. They don't do a lot of the things that other systems do. They do things differently. They're a lot less expensive.
Mm-hmm.
They boot up in seconds from cold. They're a very different.
There's no physical
breed of device.
Well, there's no physical hard drive in it, correct? It's all flash memory.
16, yeah, there's a 16 gig SSD card. That's all you need.
Yeah,
and it seems to do pretty much everything else without issue. And you know, it was the number 1, 2, 3, and 5 device on Amazon's list. At Christmas, and school districts are buying them by the carload, and people are buying them by the carload, and Apple is afraid. You can see it in their campaign. They're actually afraid of these things, and it's kind of an amazingly disruptive device.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty impressed by mine.
And they're not that expensive either.
Well, and that's just it. For anywhere from 200, well, the Chrome Pixel, which is really a reference model, is $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are in the $200 to $400 range.
Yeah.
I just got a Toshiba 13.3-inch Chromebook for $300. Beautiful screen, hugely bright. Fat, ridiculously fast, and it does everything many people need to do. You know, if you're a high-end gamer, if you're a programmer, if you do a lot of sound or video editing, a lot of it, this may not be the device for you.
Or it's a great second or even third device.
Well, exactly. If you've got a big desktop at home, and when you're out, what you're doing is taking notes, looking at your mail, checking out Facebook and Google Plus and Twitter and things, then there's no reason to spend another $600 on it.
Yeah. And because almost everything can sync through the cloud now anyway, by the time you get home, all the stuff you did is already there.
I'll tell you what, I brought home, I got this Toshiba Wednesday night. I brought it home, I set it up, I put in my username and password on Google, and it had a big update, so let's not count that, because it was fresh out of the box, right?
Yeah.
So it did that, and it rebooted, I put my username and password in.
Mm-hmm.
3 minutes later, I not only had
all You had to wait that long?
I had all my bookmarks, I had all my apps, I had my background, I had everything. It was just like, exactly like my other Chromebook. It was
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. It was identical.
Yeah.
It was quite amazing. But listen, we have something more amazing here.
Yes.
This time, and we only do this twice a year. We did it last week, and those of you out there were very generous and very helpful, but we're doing it again this week. We are giving you a golden opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to become a member of the Jazz 90.1, and more particularly of the Sound Bites family. That's exactly right. We are giving you the opportunity to be a member of Jazz 90.1, and it's ridiculously easy to do. All you have to do is give us a call. If you are in the 585 area code, the number is 966-5299, 966-5299, or it's 1-800-790-0415, or indeed you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And we do this only a couple of times a year, so do not miss your opportunity. You were great last week, folks.
Yeah.
And we want to thank Larry and
everybody,
Mike and Tom and Victor and Frank and Jerry and Carl and Steve and Wayne and Don and Betty and Richard and Brad and Diana and Anonymous and Larry and Patricia for their generous donations. But it's your turn to join them. Don't let them shoulder all the burden. Give us a call, 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415, or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
Yeah, as we say, you know, I mean, we're here every week, 52 weeks out of the year. And, you know, the three of us, we volunteer our time. And as I've said before, I know for me, it's a good 4 hours out of my day, right in the middle of the day. You two gentlemen have families.
We do.
And, you know, wives and kids to take care of. And that cuts, you know, Saturdays, it's like, all right, tell you what, I'm signing up for this and don't plan on doing anything on Saturdays from 11 to, say, 3 o'clock, because you're tied to that. So there's dedication there, and this is where we need your dedication and stepping up to the plate. Show us your support, because we give up our time week after week. We're coming up on 25 years. This coming Labor Day, which isn't that far away. I know we're not even into, you know, spring yet, but Labor Day weekend, we start 25 years. We've been coming to you folks with answers to your computer questions, perhaps saving you thousands of dollars and, you know, resolving things. So we come twice a year to say, hey, give whatever you can afford, because it would really appreciate and also helps keep us on air. Because Rob really took a big risk when he turned around and invited us to come here on an all-jazz station. We are the only talk show in this whole format. You hear music otherwise the other hours of the day. And it's one of the few jazz stations also.
And you folks have all been very, very nice to us. We've, over the years, we've heard how much you love the show.
Mm-hmm.
We hear people who've said, oh, I'm so glad that you're on Saturdays again after we were off the air for a bit. And we're delighted to be able to do this. But doing this doesn't come free. And we don't get other money. We don't get government money. We don't get the government cheese. We get no federal funds, no state funds, no local funds, no county funds, no city funds, no town funds.
Zippo.
Every penny we get. When we say member supported, we mean it. It's you. And we need you to step up and make the call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We're delighted to do this. We have people stop us all the time and tell us how much they're thrilled that we are doing this. And like I said, we're delighted to do it, but we really need you folks to step up to the plate. We're going to take a quick break right now, but we'll be back in just, and this is the ideal time to call. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on the truly great and truly, I'm not kidding, solely member supported Jazz 90.1.
90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have George from Greece on the line. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have a friend who's it's a senior person who's interested in getting a iPad, but she's heard unfavorable things about Windows 8. She's asked about an iPad with Windows 7. Is that combination even available, and would you advise it?
No, the iPad only comes with Apple's OS. It doesn't come with any version of Windows. You could theoretically get a Windows Surface tablet that had Windows 8 on it, but they don't sell them with Windows 7 anymore unless you can find a leftover one. But Windows itself isn't really designed for touch and doesn't work well on a tablet. And conversely, that's why Windows 8 is designed for a tablet, doesn't really work well on a desktop without that touch interface. That's the big complaint about Windows 8.
Well, I had heard something to that effect, and that's what I was remembering.
Yeah,
but
you make a good point. It's an Apple product.
Right,
and they're not putting, and Microsoft is certainly not putting Windows anything on an iPad, and Apple wouldn't let them anyway.
Yeah, but the iPad operating system itself, you don't even acknowledge there's an OS there. There's just apps that you run. You've got your mail app and your web and your photos and your games. And so the operating system sort of hides underneath and doesn't even make any point that it's theirs, which is how an operating system should work. You get your work done, you don't care what the operating system is underneath it.
Right, well, but the big question is, what is she going to do with it?
Well, that's good. I do know a little about that. She has a PC now. She does some work with Word, and she prepares labels and does the kind of administrative things like that. So is there a package that's comparable to Word?
There are several word processors available with the iPad, including Apple's Pages that comes free with it, with the new devices. Printing labels might be a little tricky. You can print regular documents, but I've never actually tried to print a label before.
Yeah, I'm not sure, and I hate to say this right in front of Steve, but I'm not entirely certain that an iPad is exactly the right device in that circumstance.
I've got a feeling that what we've got here is a convergence of the things she does seriously on a computer and her interest of getting pictures of grandchildren and things like that. She's hearing so much about the iPad and the ability to...
Yeah, you can do all that. Things.
Right, and for that, it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to do real work, that's probably not the device for her.
You make a good point.
There are label printing apps for printing labels.
Okay.
But it depends on how often she does it. If it's like once a month she prints labels out to send out a newsletter or something, that's probably fine.
It's probably that order, but that's good. You've clarified something here, and she needs to get onto a different path, I think, at least in understanding what it is she's expressing interest in.
Right.
So now,
can I go to the book that Nick was talking about earlier?
The Chromebook,
I appreciated some of the comments you were making, and would that be a good device to carry if you're traveling, where, for example, I like to go onto the web to pull down some investment data.
Right.
That would be good for doing that?
I think so. Again, I'm not sure that the average user needs much more than that. If most of what you do is, in particular when you're traveling, if everything you do is on the web,
yes,
then a Chromebook is an excellent device to have.
Okay.
In particular, if you don't have to print anything out when you're on the road, even with a laptop, of course, you're going to have to carry a printer if you want to print something out, but... in general, my suggestion is that if you're looking for a device, a lightweight, inexpensive device to take with you, then a Chromebook is exactly what you want.
And with like Google Print or HP's ePrint, you print a document and it comes out at your printer back home, so which is probably where you needed it anyway.
Right.
Now, I can forgo the printer feature.
Yeah.
Do they also accommodate thumb drives?
Yes, absolutely.
And
and also SD cards.
I'm sorry?
SD cards.
I'm with you. Okay. And what about the weight?
It depends on which model you buy. There's models that only weigh a couple of pounds. There's models that weigh up to 4 pounds.
And would you... well, you got my attention there. are these kind of comparable to what we knew in years past called notebooks, but higher performance?
Yes, and yes.
Okay.
Two things that you really need to know about Chromebooks. You can run them offline. That is to say, if you have no wireless connection at all, you can still run them. But you really want to sync them up in a wireless environment first. So, for example, the other day I went to a meeting. They had no wireless, but all of my documents from Google Drive had synced down to it, so I was fine. But the second thing is, one of the things I most love about the Chromebook is there are no data in the Chromebook itself. They all live in the cloud. So if you lose it or it's stolen, you don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You'll probably want to change your password just because that's good practice.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll want to make it a fairly complex password. But that's it. That you buy, like I said earlier, you buy a new Chromebook, you enter your username and password, and a couple of minutes later, it looks just like your old Chromebook. Everything is back. Everything.
And some of the Chromebook models, you know, like the iPads and other tablets too, have cellular service in the device, in the Chromebook itself. So when you're not in a Wi-Fi hotspot, you can still get on the internet over cellular. You pay extra for that, of course, but it's an option.
Okay. And do Chromebooks offer a touchscreen feature?
The high-end ones do right now. There are a couple of models that do. That's going to, I believe, become more common over the next year or two.
Sure.
But right now, it's just the high-end devices because the actual business of touchscreen is not cheap unless, like Apple, you're buying them by the gazillion.
You made a great summary of it. Thank you very much for your help.
Thank you. Good luck.
Goodbye.
A gazillion being a technical word.
What?
Gazillion being a technical quantity.
A technical term, exactly. Yeah. One thing I should mention, if you're interested in buying a Chromebook, one of the things you can do to decide whether or not it's useful to you is to download the Chrome browser on your desktop or laptop or whatever. Because a Chromebook essentially is just the Chrome browser with all the apps, and all the apps also run in the Chrome browser on your desktop. So this is how I decided I wanted a Chromebook. I downloaded Chrome. I found all the apps I wanted to use, some business, some fun. And then I went along and saw how much of my life I could live solely in the Chrome browser. And I was shocked to discover how much it really is.
Yep. Web and mail and photos and
everything. There
documents.
There are two things I couldn't do when I started. Now there's one thing I can't do. And I just haven't spent the time to look and see if that's available as an app. So that made me realize that I could, in fact, live on a Chromebook as happily as I live on my desktop. So that's a good test, and it costs you nothing because you've already got the desktop or the laptop, and the Chrome browser is free.
Yep, and we've sort of been seeing that trend in computer sales. Over the last couple of years, laptops have been outselling desktops about 3-1 because people want that mobility. But desktops have always been more powerful, and when to get a powerful laptop, it's really expensive. So what we're seeing now becoming a trend is people getting the desktop for the power and the big screen and then getting a mobile device like an iPad or a Chromebook or other tablet. And they're cheaper, they're lighter, they do almost everything you need as a mobile device. We sometimes call it the living room computer. In the living room, on the couch, watching TV, reading a book on your device. And then for less than the cost of a big, powerful laptop, you get the desktop and you get the tablet, and then there's more peace in the family because you're not fighting over who has access to what device at the time. And then next year you get a new tablet and pass it down. Or,
well, that's exactly right. And I'll tell you what, I have my original Chromebook, the little 11-inch model, which I still love, the original Samsung 11-inch model. My eyes aren't good enough for an 11-inch screen all the time. But that's actually currently in the kitchen. And so when my wife says to me, "Who's that actor?" Or
I can't watch TV without IMDb anymore.
I can't anymore. I'm the same way.
Who is that? What else were they in? What do I know him from?
Yep.
One other person that I stopped and saw and said to say hello is Paul Casarino.
How is Paul?
Doing great. And he was loving our comments about the Nexus 7. Because he wound up getting one, and he goes, "I just love that thing."
Everybody who gets one loves it. It's an amazing device.
And it's just so handy. Like I say, I take it to work with me all the time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and then on upstairs at night, I like to read a little bit before I go to bed, and shuts right on down, and the battery life lasts forever.
I've pretty much, I don't use my laptop for anything but like today's show. because I'm video streaming and audio streaming and doing all this other stuff. So you need the power of the computer. But everything else I use my tablet for.
Oh, yeah, it's just there, and it can do everything, especially with the cloud now.
Yep.
You know, you throw everything up there, and it's there. Pictures, whatever.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I've been pretty amazed at that stuff. And I do. I love my Nexus 7. I use it as my reader. And the nice thing about it is there's a Nook app, there's a Kindle app, there's a half a dozen other apps, so I can buy books from anywhere and read them. Plus, like you said, it does pictures, it does games, it does my mail, it does everything. It does all the same stuff that an iPad would do.
And
it's a pretty amazing little device.
Whether you immerse yourself in the Google world or the Apple world.
That's right. You're gonna buy into somebody's ecosystem.
Yep.
You just have to decide whose.
Well, the interesting thing is in the Apple world, Google still writes apps, but in the Android world, Apple hasn't yet.
Right.
Although there are rumors that they're going to do iTunes or syncing for Android.
That would be okay. I mean, I don't use iTunes.
Yeah.
Mainly because I'm not an Apple guy.
Yeah.
But that would be nice.
They do have iTunes and iCloud for Windows. But not for Android yet.
And yet I can get on my Chromebook and go to the iCloud.
Yeah.
iCloud.com.
Yeah, iCloud works on the web, so any computer.
I can use iWork. I can use all of that stuff. I can also, if I want to, go to, what is it, live.com, they're calling it this week. They've changed the name like four times. From Microsoft and use the Microsoft Office suite. And including the one killer product that has no equivalent anywhere else, OneNote.
Actually, what was interesting, Microsoft just released OneNote for the iPad.
I know, I saw that.
And that is really exciting for corporations.
Exciting. Yeah, yeah.
In fact, that was one of the big questions we kept having at the Wednesday meeting about using your own device in the corporation and how you get it into that Microsoft environment, which is so common in big corporations. And Microsoft is now helping that with OneNote.
Right. I do want to, again, thank the folks at the Financial Executives International. They had their meeting Wednesday. They were kind enough to ask me back to fumble around, and I had a great time. And Steve was there. He seemed to be smiling. Of course, it's his job, so I don't know what he was feeling. But and we were on a panel together, so that was really very nice. It was a lovely event. We had a great time, and I want to thank all those folks. Particularly Jeff and John.
Microsoft finally renamed it. Apparently, there was a trademark infringement against SkyDrive.
Yeah,
the Sky satellite television network in England, Europe. Sued Microsoft for the SkyDrive logo and name, and so now Microsoft has come up with a new name, OneDrive.
OneDrive, yeah,
with a word one, not the number one. I would almost expect them to do the number one because it's awkward.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't make it. Sadly, they couldn't just call it cloud. And I'm surprised they didn't, because they have Word, although they do Excel and PowerPoint as opposed to just a presentation.
I keep waiting for someone to challenge the trademarkability of Word, because it's a simple word. It shouldn't be trademarkable.
More importantly, if you're trying to look up a problem in Word.
Yeah.
Because it's just a generic word, it's hard to do. OneNote, if you're looking up an issue in OneNote or Excel or PowerPoint, easy enough to do. But Word, you get all kinds of extraneous junk when you're trying to do that.
And I usually have to do Microsoft Word in quotes to force it to look for both.
Yep. It annoys the heck out of me. Hey, and don't forget, speaking of annoying the heck out of people, give us a call and make a pledge, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We need your help. This station, it was kind enough to take us in, has given us a home for years, and we repay that kindness this way. And I don't mean we, me, Dave, and Steve. I mean we, us and all of you listening. You are part of the Soundbites family, and now's your opportunity to step up and cement that relationship. Make the call. make the pledge. Sure, we've got pledge levels anywhere from $35 to $1,000 and up. If there's anybody out there who'd like to pledge $50,000, I personally will drive Rob Linton to your house to mow your lawn this summer. That's a promise. But once. But we will accept any amount. If you've got $5, if you've got $10, we're more than happy to take that pledge to keep this station on the air. That's all we ask, is that this station stays on the air so we can keep doing this for you week after week after week. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 40 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe on the truly member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 46 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. I would like to thank friend of the show, Scott, for his very, very generous donation. And this is your chance to join him. We are in the middle of another pledge drive, and we need to hear from you. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We need your help. We need you to help keep this station on the air. And we want you, quite selfishly, to be a member of the Soundbites family. And you do that by making a pledge, becoming a member, and joining the family. It can be at one of our levels, 35, 50, 100, 150, 365, 500, 1,000. Or it can be at any amount you have.
There is no wrong amount.
There's no wrong amount. We will take pledges in any amount. If you're one of those folks who has the wherewithal, you can also become a Jazz-O-Matic member.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz-O-Matic is
Jazz-O-Matic is
a whole different thing. If you pledge $10 or more per month, you decide how long you want that pledge to last, let's say a year. Maybe you can't afford more than $10 a month. Fine. If you can afford it every month, become a Jazz-O-Matic member, and you can cancel your pledge at any time. You qualify for the great gifts at the level that you reach. And if you want to become a Jazz-O-Matic member, just when you call, tell Gary, who is patiently standing by waiting for your calls, hint that you'd like to be a Jazz-O-Matic member. But again, anything you want to do to help us, we need your assistance. You can even do that online.
Online, yeah. To become a monthly supporter of Jazz 90.1 is the Jazz-O-Matic monthly membership donation.
Right. And remember, at the $90 and 10 cent level or above, you get the great membership card, which is a phenomenal thing. Honestly, every year I make back more than I pledge by using that card to get discounts at various merchants. And by the way, they work at online merchants as well. So make the call, make the pledge. In the meantime, while you're doing that, we'll talk to Dennis from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dennis. What's your question?
Hi. Before I ask my question, I have a comment. I have to renew my membership, but being self-employed, I can't do it for about another 2 weeks. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. We appreciate every dollar that comes in. When you call, tell them it's for Sound Bites.
I will absolutely do that. I wanted to know about the Nexus 7. Is that an equivalent? Is that equivalent to the Chromebook, or what's the difference between the two?
It's more like a 7-inch iPad. It's a tablet, not a notebooky thing.
And it's Google's competing OSs between the Android OS and the Chrome OS. Why do they have two OSs?
Well, and because they're smart enough that one goes on the tablet,
yeah,
and one goes on the notebook.
Yep.
The Nexus 7 is the Android operating system in a tablet format. It's a 7-inch tablet. It's approximately book-sized. So it does everything an Android phone can do, except, of course, make phone calls directly to your carrier.
Does it do more than the... or more or less than the Chromebook?
It's a different beast. Chromebooks run the Chrome browser and have a keyboard, and that's the big, that's the major difference right there. And they also can run the Chrome apps.
Ah, okay. And is it like more like an iPad then?
Right, exactly. It has its own set of apps. It does have a Chrome browser app, but it has its own set of apps, and it is a tablet. So like the iPad, it has an on-screen keyboard. You can buy an extra keyboard for it, but it's really a different beast from the Chromebook, which is a notebook, laptop-y sort of clamshell-looking thing.
Okay, that's great. Thank you for your help.
Thank you. We're filling all of the available ecological niches.
Yep.
Apple is doing it with the iMac, the MacBooks, the iPads, and the iPhone. And Android is doing it. Google is doing it with the Android phone, the Android tablet, the Chromebook. And they don't really have a desktop. Oh, wait, no, excuse me, the Chrome box.
Yeah.
You can run a Chrome box, which is a Chromebook, without all the other stuff. You plug your own monitor, keyboard, and mouse in it. It's a little hockey puck-looking thing, kind of like the Mac Mini.
Yeah, often intended to plug into a television as a media center.
Right.
A step up from the Chromecast.
Right. And the Chromecast is the thing that lets you shoot your Android tablet screen over to your television. But the Chrome box is designed to run the Chrome OS just as you would in a Chromebook, only now it's on, you can have whatever keyboard and mouse and monitor you want, and it becomes a device that you use for that. Again, only a few $100, and you still get all of the additional benefits, which are the big benefit is really so far there is a complete lack of any viruses that attack the Chromebook. Not that people haven't tried. Apple has a $50,000 bounty out on the Chromebook. If
Google.
You, what?
Google.
You said, what you did said I Apple. Say? Cheese and crackers.
I'm trying to think. I don't remember Apple offering bug bounties. I know Google does.
Yeah, they're offering it on other people's operating systems. They'll pay any amount to have somebody break into somebody else's operating system. Google is offering a $50,000 bounty on the first person who can reliably break into a Chromebook. As with anything else, there are the ones that say, your machine is infected. Call this number and send us $500. That's a different story. In this particular case, what they're saying is you have to infect it with a real virus that is reproducible. That is to say, if I reboot the machine, it's still there. And so far, that hasn't been done at all. So that's another good reason. A lot of people that I talk to are saying, I'm getting my parents or my grandparents a Chromebook or a Chrome box.
Mm-hmm.
Because then they can have a big screen.
Yeah, and it's easy for them to sit back and relax.
Everything they do online. They look at the grandkids' pictures on Facebook. They play Candy Crunch or whatever the heck those things are.
Mm-hmm.
Castleville and all of that.
Oh, you didn't get hooked on Candy Crunch?
I'm not hooked on anything. Thank you very much. Hooked on a feeling, baby.
I admit, that's the one that I have gotten hooked on. But I got other individuals.
I've been playing Real Racing lately, and they have this daily double bonus. So if you race every day, you get double points on your first race. So that really incentivizes you to get that first race every day. But I just bought the Porsche 918 Spyder the other day. So
bought.
Yeah.
I just bought in the game. I have forced myself to not pay real money on any of these games.
Yes, I refuse to.
You can build it takes longer and it's harder to build up enough game money to buy the stuff you need.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do it without paying real money. And I wish there was a separate section in games where people that did that could compete against each other. Because if you put real money in the game, you can buy the best car and have all the upgrades automatically and win every race automatically. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not fair to the people who are just using game money.
Yeah,
right.
But yeah, no, that game also, though, gets to where I get folks calling me and saying, send me lives. It's like, really? I'm on my way up to bed. Send me lives.
Uh-huh. Here come water my lettuce. Remember the Farmville addiction for
please.
A while?
Please,
Mike. They all go in cycles.
No, your wife got hooked on that, didn't she?
My wife is on Castleville now. Not that that's better or even different. It's just that these people wear medieval garb instead of overalls. That's the big difference. But she's got charts. She's got actual charts.
Get out.
That you know, I have to water this now, and there, I know that wolves will come at 2 p.m. and whatever it all is. And she's
seriously?
You cheese and crackers.
Well, I don't know. I don't, like I say, the simplest thing I do is Candy Crunch, and then the other thing is I like a Word for Windows. You know, the word, again.
Word for friends.
Word for friends.
Because Scrabble is a registered trademark of the Bradley Corporation.
Right. And I play that with about four other folks. And I love it because my late wife, she was good. I mean, we'd sit there and play Scrabble. And we had it set out on a table. And sit there and take turns like you do in a chess game.
Yeah.
And take turns. And, oh, man, she challenged me all the time. Of course, there's a woman that used to do the New York Times crossword puzzle in ink.
Oh, yeah.
She was...
Oh, unbelievable. When I was the entertainment reporter on another station for a year, they would bring in the New York Times every day.
Mm-hmm.
And Monday through Thursday, I could get in a break. Friday took me a few breaks. Saturday took me a few more breaks. Sunday, I did in pencil.
I would say, hell no.
it's they're diabolical sons of guns over at the New York Times. I will tell you that.
You memorize last week's answered and then sit down in a crowd and fill it out in 5 minutes and say, oh, that's too easy.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I didn't get a chance to see what you got for news, but did you hear the Windows 9, though? They're really pushing to get that out this year.
Yeah, they really want it out this year.
This summer.
Well, nobody's buying 8.1.
Well, Windows 9 supposed to be out in beta by the summer, and it should be on all machines by Christmas.
Yep.
Which will be a great boost for the holiday sales if they can bring this to fruition, which I don't see why they can't. Again, they're building it all on the premise of Windows 7.
Well, and it's not like they don't have a lot of programmers.
You think?
You know, they can do this. It basically, Windows underlying kernel code has not changed significantly since Windows XP. Mm-hmm. How do we know this? Because Microsoft is telling us this.
Mm-hmm.
They're telling us we have to get rid of Windows XP because as new exploits come out for 7, 8 and 9, they will apply to XP, which isn't getting the security updates.
Right.
So that tells us it's the same code.
Uh-huh. Not much different.
That's exactly right.
Now, I mean, maybe a few DLLs are getting updated here and there. Those are dynamic link libraries that, Windows was the first to introduce, you know, being able to share printers, you know, put it in and it would find the printers. Because they had a universal list of the most popular printers out there. You could add others to it, no problem. But they had a real nice list that you could scroll down by HP and a number of other companies and just select it. It was already there. Didn't have to go and get the drivers because the list was already in there in the Dynamic Link Library.
Well, that's the Dynamic Link Library is also the thing that shares common code among pieces and parts of, for example, Office. So in Office, everything has the file and edit and whatever menu. And so that's a common piece of linked library among all of them. Listen, we're going to take a slightly longer break now. So you've got plenty of time to please, please make that call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. You can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. We need you to become a member of the Soundbites family. So far, to this week, Scott's holding us up all by himself. Give him a hand. Make the call. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 59 minutes after the hour. Soundbites on member supported. Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And Steve Ray is on the phone. We would like to thank a friend of the show, Dolores, for her generous donation. We appreciate it. Every dollar, every bump, everything helps. Remember, we are in the middle of a pledge drive, and we need your help. So far, Scott and Dolores are holding up the fort this week. It's your turn. To join into the family. If you want to join us tomorrow night in Second Life, that would be great. But even if you're not a Second Life person, we would love to have you become a member of this show. And the way you do that is you call and make the pledge. It's easy enough to do. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free 1-800-790-0415. In fact, you can even pledge securely online if you don't want to talk to a single human being. Although Gary is a lovely fellow. He really is. But if you would rather not talk to a human being, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And remember, you can either be a one-time pledger or you can become a Jazz-O-Matic member. Just get nibbled every month, and that would be great. But in the meantime, we will go back to the phones. Our next caller is Lynn from Clymer, New York. Hiya, Lynn. What's up?
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone.
How are you?
Fair, I guess. I have a question for you. Oh, by the way, I mailed in a check, a physical check, Tuesday, I think. So it
Checks.
Should be there, unless it's in Rob's wallet.
How quaint.
How quaint. Yeah. Thank you, Lynn. We appreciate
Thank
that
you.
Very much. Thank you.
And 6 months ago, the letter I sent with it, I didn't make it clear that it was supposed to be for sound bites, and Rob credited it to the polka guys. Oh, well. That's
and
the way
that's
it goes.
A lesson for all of you listening. If you are sending in a check or pledging online during the week, please, in the comments section or maybe on the bottom of the check, or add a little note with it that says, four sound bites. We don't want to give those polka dots any more than they already get.
No lie.
Okay, so what's your question, Lynn?
I bought a XPS 8700 a while back, and it's a wonderful machine so yep. far. And somehow I lost my wireless connection to the router. And in process of trying to fix things, I changed the name on the router, and then I went back to try and fix everything else, and it took me like 2 minutes to reset up my four Wi-Fi radios and then my two computers. Then I got to my XPS 8700, and I cannot set that thing up.
Does it not see the Wi-Fi, or does it see it and not connect to it?
I think what the problem is, it sees it, but I think what it did when I went to add the SSID, and I brought that up to check that, to select the router I wanted to go to, when I did that, it added a 2 to the name, and I can't find a place to delete it. And
oh,
I think I just don't understand what's going on. I've been looking and looking and looking, and I can't find.
What operating system is this Dell in?
It's got Windows 7 on it, as do both my other computers.
All right. So the way you delete a wireless network connection is you start the network and sharing center, and in the tasks pane, you can see manage wireless networks.
Yep.
And if you right-click on a connection, you get a drop down, and one of the choices is remove network.
Ah.
And it will forget it. And then you can re-add it again. You may want to delete, if you there's more than one and they have similar names, you know, and you only have the one wireless thing, you may want to delete, if there's more than one, all of them.
I tried doing that on a on a laptop to go, you know, right-click on and remove it. Wouldn't let me remove them.
You have to be an administrator user.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Dave didn't forget that. Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
You will get a warning box, and maybe that came up behind.
Well, I got to do a little. They told me to take the laptop and take a look at it. Yeah. And you know, because I was there and just trying to quick resolve it.
Right.
Because again, it was working, not working now. So the same type of thing. You know, I got to play around with it.
I've also seen this necessary if you change your Wi-Fi password, because the computer will remember the password for your Wi-Fi, so you don't have to type it every time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if you change the password, it's not remembering the wrong password.
And you
what
can't
What I changed was the name of on the router. That's what I actually changed, but it didn't properly change it on the machine.
Well, I've also seen issues. In fact, I had to do this at my office a couple of weeks ago. The network, machines on the network remember things about the network. It remembers the network names. It remembers the computer names. So when you change one, the other machines are still going to remember the old name for a while. And I see that on the Mac a lot, where you get a message that, you know, the network MacBook, or the name MacBook is already used, so I renamed it MacBook 1 and 2 and 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
So what usually the way to fix that is shut everything down, all your computers, all your routers, all your printers, all your everythings, for about half an hour, and make sure they forget everything.
Okay.
And then bring the router back up, and then one computer to set up what you want new in that router.
Mm.
And then once everything is set, then bring the rest of your stuff back online, because by then it has forgotten the old names that you're changing.
Yeah, well, I don't think I have to change anything in the router at this point. I think maybe just shut everything
down. Shut everything down,
yeah. Bring up that one.
Yep.
Or bring up the router and then that one machine, and maybe.
Yeah, because then the new route, the current router name will be the only one anything remembers, because the old ones will have been forgotten.
Well, at least that's someplace new I can try.
Right, right.
Okay, and then I have another question, if I may.
Yeah.
When setting up, Steve may remember Gibson talking about this a couple different times. Way back in the beginning, he said if you're setting up, at least if I think I remember it being him saying it, that if you're setting up wireless or multiple routers to segment things separately, that you should put a wired router first off the modem and then put your wireless off from that router.
Yeah, a triple router setup. So if you want to have two wireless routers or two wireless networks that are independent of each other, neither one can see devices on the other network, then you need to have this split in the middle so that you're getting two separate networks.
As opposed to daisy chaining where it can feed by, right?
Right. Now, a lot of modern routers today have that feature built in where it will create two separate networks, each on their own range, and neither network can talk to each other. Most networks,
that guest account would do that.
Yeah, most routers set that up as a guest account, and that second network, the guest network, can only see the internet services. It cannot see other guests, and it can't see anyone on your other network. As
well, the other reason that I wanted to do it was my Wi-Fi radios are much lower security. And so I've always run them off of a cheap wireless router, a cheap TrendNet, and I've worn out two of them doing that.
Yeah.
And because I listen to radio, being half blind, I listen to radio from anywhere 5 in the morning till 2 the next morning.
Sure.
And that router just running and running, actually moving data.
We always forget about those routers are powered on in you know, probably under a desk somewhere. And we forget that they're always on, always running, and always wearing out.
And sitting there gathering dust, which is a great insulator and holds in the heat.
But the others, do I remember accurately that a router, if you add one item, or maybe it's changed with modern, newer technology, that if you add an item with lower wireless security that it backs down the security for everything on that router? Is that, am I remembering that accurately?
If it's part of that daisy chain, yes. But if they're independent, no.
Okay, that's another reason that I want to, and the other reason is I want to be able to disconnect the branch that goes to my computers, because I suffer a lot of damage over a telephone line from lightning in the summertime.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to keep my computers completely wireless.
Sure.
And my good router that I use for the computers, keep that, just disconnect it like at night if it's a thunderstorm and just depend on my radios to get by.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And I actually found the link Steve Gibson has on the GRC website about setting up a multi-NAT router network with multiple routers.
Oh.
And he's got diagrams and charts and just typical Steve Gibson, more detail than you could ever want.
All right. He's quite a guy. The other thing, do I also remember there was a website called Almost Networked?
I don't know that one, I'm afraid.
No, Practically Networked.
Practically. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's why I didn't find it then.
Yeah. With a lot of great network information on how to set up networks.
Okay, Doc. Well, thank you a lot, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks.
Thank you,
you too. And I would like to thank David for also his generous donation. Thank you very much, David. It's your time, ladies and gentlemen. It is your turn to join Scott, Dolores, and David this week and all the folks I mentioned from last week and become a member of Jazz 90.1. We only do this a couple of times a year, so don't miss your opportunity. There are over 90 of you listening to us on the data stream right now. I will lay money down personally that not all of you are members. And all you have to do is call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. If you're outside the 585 area code, toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or because you're clearly a computer person, you can even pledge securely online at jazz901.com. It's you who keeps this show on the air. It's you who keeps this station on the air. If you don't want us on the air, you're doing it right now. You're not pledging. If you want to keep this show and this station alive, the way to do it is to make the call and make the pledge.
Yep.
And I have to apologize to our Ustream viewers. In all the panic and setup of getting the machines running and the pledge drive started, I forgot to hit the start broadcast button.
Oops.
So I just did now.
Okay, then. Hi, Ustream.
Uh-oh.
But here we are. So you can join us and you can be part of what we do every single week.
We only
week.
Come twice a year. You know, it's not like we're here, you know, three and four times a year constantly asking for money. It's twice a year. If you take the amount of information and knowledge that you've gotten from us over the year, you're getting it pretty cheap, because we help you, and you folks know that we're telling the truth, because you hear it every week. Folks will call in and say, oh, I tried this, or I tried that, and it was very helpful. And folks will call in, and we'll, with them on the phone, walk them through an issue. And they might hang up and then call back a few minutes later. You know, that solved it.
Yep.
And we get that a lot. But you know what? For us, the best way to thank us, though, would be picking up the phone, renewing your membership if you haven't already, or becoming a new member and showing your support for this program.
Or just throw a few extra bucks on the pie.
Whatever. Yeah, don't care. We're not fussy. Every dollar helps us get closer to the goal.
And we only, like you said, we only come to you twice a year. And I know there are some of you who are listening right now are thinking, oh, my heavens.
Yeah.
They're pledging again.
Mm-hmm.
I will guarantee you, if you're annoyed by this, you're not a member. The members are smug right now. They're going, yeah, they're pledging a membership. I'm already a member. I'm in the club. I'm there. And so while we take this short break, make the call. It takes less than 2 minutes. Gary's a nice guy. He'd be glad to take your pledge. Make the call. Make the pledge. Keep this station on the air. We'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 19 minutes after the hour. We're Soundbites on the solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
But this mic, it's either designed for a midget or somebody that's scraping the ceiling with their head.
That's Ray and Al, right?
Yeah.
It is Ray and Al.
And Rob. It's like, you know, I try to get it up there. It's pointing at my chest.
You're that age. All right. At any rate, we're back with more sound bites. We want to thank Victor for his donation. Thank you so much, Victor. We very much appreciate that. And also Dave and Larry and Jeanette. Thank you all for your lovely donations. Very generous. We're moving quickly along, and that's important.
You know, it'd be nice 1 week to finally beat the polka guys.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
Man, that would
be
terrific.
They are always so smug.
Well, and they have many, 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 many loyal listeners. They've been on
the air.
Well,
so do we.
They're the only show that's been on the air longer than us.
Yes. Not by much.
Not by much, though, yeah.
That's true.
But they have been, and we just need our members. We do have good members. We have listeners. We have loyal listeners. We just need more of them to step up to the plate and become members of the Soundbites Jazz 90.1 family.
Yeah, because, you know, I know we all three of us get it. You can be out there and somebody go, oh, wait, you're Dave Enright, right? You know, why? Who's asking? They go, can I ask you a quick computer question? Or, yeah, sure, go ahead and talk about it. And, you know, inadvertently, you know, I help them out. You know, I can't give it all without sometimes seeing it, but, you know, I try to help them out. The only time that I can't is when I'm at work and they sit there.
Right.
But, you know, 90% of the time, wherever we are, folks say, oh, hi, and can I ask you a quick question if you don't mind? I know you don't like to mix, you know. Go ahead. And, you know, that's what we do. And we enjoy this coming here every week. You know, because we don't get paid for this. Not a thin dime. We contribute our time, which is pretty cheap. If you were going for an hourly rate, you know, at a shop, you know, and versus what you're getting here between
two
the three of them.
Every week?
Yep. Yeah, two hours. And say,
three people. Two hours.
Just say the
average. Do the math.
Yeah, just say the average service call time, and I'm just guesstimating. Say it's $80.
You go cheap.
There's $100. Yeah, I'm lowballing. I know that. That's why I'm not trying to scare them, because you know $80. A service call times two. That's $160.
Times three. That's $240.
Thank you. All right. So you got that sitting here every week. And I mean, we go back. I think, you know, folks go, oh, you're old. I go, yeah, I'm older than dirt. Matter of fact, I invented dirt.
Turn over rocks, they got Dave's name written.
Yeah, it's already there. So you know what? Yes, we've got a lot of knowledge. We've been broken in on the older PCs, like you've heard us tell you, you know, time after time about the old days with the floppies. You know, folks go, what's that? You know, they don't remember those. And had to load it into a tape machine. So, you know, yeah, it's come a long way. And we've hopefully made this process of you folks transitioning from one operating system to another or this or that guided you along. And it's only twice a year that we come to you and say, all right, we need you to tap into your wallet. And there is no wrong amount. So whatever you can comfortably give, please, even if you've already given. We've had a couple folks already said, all right, I'm already a member, but you know what? Yes, I do rely on you guys a lot, and we want you there every week. And this is one way to show it to Rob that, you know, Soundbites is still very important on an all-music radio station. Think about that, folks. He went out on a limb because you've got the polka guys before us and the German show after us. And what does he slide in between them? At prime time, between 12 and 2? A talk show? That was pretty brave of Rob. Yeah. So, again, show your support. Pick up the phone and give us a call.
The numbers, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. You know, here's an interesting fact. Even if you pledged at the $1,000 level, it's $2.75 a day, half a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. Half a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. So if you were to put a half a cup of coffee's worth of money in a jar every morning.
Not the coffee itself.
Yeah, well, we don't want the coffee. Ugh.
The equivalent cost of half a cup of coffee in a jar every morning. Put a big jar on your desk. Put $2.75 in it. The end of a year, you could send us $1,000. Alternately, let's say you think to yourself, well, Sound Bites isn't on every day. It's only on once a week. Okay, what's the cost of a cup of coffee these days? $5 for those of you dumb enough to pay that price for a cup of coffee? That's $260 a year if you buy one cup of coffee a week.
Mm-hmm.
A week.
Mm-hmm.
Send us that.
Yeah.
If you're sitting there sipping a cup of coffee while you listen to us, aren't we worth that cup of coffee?
Your blood pressure will thank you.
Yeah, really.
Your blood pressure will thank you. So give us a call. Make the pledge. Maybe you don't have $260. Pledge as a Jazz-O-Matic member.
Mm-hmm.
$10 every month is the minimum Jazz-O-Matic pledge. You can become a Jazz-O-Matic member, and you won't even feel the pain, but you will feel the joy and the smugness of being a member of Jazz 90.1 and a member in good standing of the Sound Bites family. Please join Scott, Dolores, David, Larry and Jeanette, Dave and Victor, and become a member of this station. We only ask this a couple of times a year, and heaven knows the reality is we're the station that doesn't get federal money, state money, local money. We're the station that gets its members, that is truly member-supported because our money comes from our members. And so we need you to step up to keep this show on the air. We need you to enjoy Sound Bites every week. And the way mm-hmm. you do that is to assure that we stay on the air. And we should probably go back to the phones. We've got Victor from Rochester, New York, on the line. Welcome, Victor. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I wonder if you can help me out. I just got rid of my XP, and I had all my data on a flash drive. When I put it on, I can see the flash drive. When I check something to transfer, all I get was to date inventory notepad and all along of gibbly gabs. I'd like to get that stuff through on my my new computer, and these are what they call XLR files. Can you help me out?
Now, where did these files come from? What program generated
them? My old XP system.
Yeah, but what program generated them?
Yeah.
Program?
Yeah, if you had these files...
Well, probably Microsoft Works.
And they end in XLR?
File, yes.
I have XLR. XLS?
XLR file. I'm looking at it right now.
I.
All right, it says XLR. What is it? How
XLR
does it open?
XLR file type. I don't. Give me a second here. Okay. I think you open them with Excel. Are they Excel files?
I don't know.
They're Microsoft Works. Work spreadsheets or chart files.
Okay.
Before you can open XLRs, a file format extension view, you need to determine what kind extension they refer to. Answer, a file with the XLR file extension is a works or spreadsheet or chart file.
That sounds about right.
So yeah, you must
put it
have
on 8.1, and I use Foxit and Libre right now. But I dragged it over to my my documents, and nothing happens.
Right, because what it needs is either Microsoft Excel or OpenOffice Calc in order to open them.
Mm-hmm.
So what you need to do, and you're running Windows 8.1 now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Do you have Office for it?
No, I didn't buy. I didn't give Gates any more money.
Nothing wrong with that.
I got Libre and I got Foxit.
Right. But those aren't. Those are never going to open those type of files.
Okay.
I'm just quickly looking up OpenOffice on Windows 8.1. And I don't think it.
Yeah, the Microsoft Works files are very tricky because only Microsoft Works can open them. So what you need to do is go back to the old computer,
yes.
Open them in Microsoft Works, and save them as something else. Save them as an Excel file for spreadsheets, as a Word file for documents.
Yeah, they say OpenOffice Calc can.
Can open Works files?
Yeah, it says, well, here's the statement. XLR files can be opened and edited with the now discontinued Microsoft Works, some versions of Microsoft Office Excel and OpenOffice Calc can also open XLR files.
Do you still have the old machine?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Do you still have the old machine?
Yes, I do.
Then what you want to do is take all those files back to the old machine. Open them in Microsoft Works, just like you normally used to, and then hit File, Save As, and you'll have some choices. If you can save them as an Excel spreadsheet, that's great.
Which is .xls.
Which is .xls. Mm-hmm. If not, a comma-separated variable file or .csv would be your other choice.
Okay.
And then those will be, oh dear, you still don't have a program that opens Excel. If you only have Foxit on the other machine, that's never going to open those files.
No, he's got to get OpenOffice.
It's designed strictly for
Excel.
PDF files.
Foxit for PDFs, yeah.
So... how do we do this?
You'll need to install OpenOffice or LibreOffice.
Yes.
Or you get an account on live.com, put them all up in the cloud, and open them with the online version of Excel. Ha!
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They could do it.
In other words, I could put them on SkyDrive?
Yes.
Okay, if I put them on SkyDrive, they go up into the cloud. Is that a safe system?
Ish.
Yeah, really.
Yes, fairly safe. Certainly there are people who are trying to hack things like SkyDrive all the time. But Microsoft is pretty diligent, so far at least, about keeping it clean.
Okay.
Nothing is perfect, but it's pretty good. At the very least, what you can do is open them that way and then save them as PDFs from there.
There's also a program here. I'm reading on the sheet here. It says you could also go to download.pcconverter.com.
Yeah, there's a lot of those.
And it'll convert one file format to another.
That may just be an ad, because I get those all the time for text files and video files. It's an ad for a converter service.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust it.
It may not do the file you want. It's just a generic file conversion service.
Right.
Okay. Well, let me try that out then.
There you go.
The other thing to do is to call around to the various vendors and see which one of them would be able to open your files with a Microsoft Works program and then save them in some other format.
Well, I got them all on the flash drive. When I put the flash drive on and move them over to my new computer, I get all kinds of gobbledygook.
Right, because you don't have Microsoft Works on the new computer.
Yeah, I was hoping that either Foxit or...
No, they can't handle it.
Yeah, see, Microsoft Works is that weird...
Can I say
bastard stepchild on the air?
Yes, go ahead.
of Microsoft, and their file formats don't work with any other Microsoft product.
Okay, so the best thing is to go back to the old computer and see if I can
convert them to
a PDF file.
Right. If you can save them as a PDF, you'll be able to view them but not edit them with Foxit. If you save them as an Excel format or a CSV format, one thing Microsoft has is a program called Excel Viewer. Again, you can view but not change Excel files. And Steve will put up a link to the Excel Viewer, which I suspect runs on Windows 8.1.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Good luck. Thank Bye-bye. You. We're going to take a quick break while you make the call and make the pledge. It is 40 minutes after the hour. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, Soundbites, on the purely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. We would like to thank James for his generous donation. Thank you very much, James, for joining the Soundbites family. What? What does Nick mean when he says joining the Soundbites family? Well, let me tell you. Yeah. We are in the middle of a pledge drive, and this is your opportunity to join Scott, Dolores, David, Larry, and Jeanette, Dave, Victor, and James, and make a pledge, become a member of the Soundbites family, and make sure that this show, and indeed this station, stay on the air. And the way you do that is you pick up the phone and you call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. That's right. This is your opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to become a member of the Soundbites family. We don't give you this opportunity very often, only a couple of times a year. Here's your shot. We want you to do this. We want you to be part of the family. We're going to go back to the phone right now and talk to one of our members, Joanne from Greece, New York. Hiya, Joanne. What's up?
Hi. My grandson had his email compromised somehow, and so I deleted. He had two email addresses with his name on it. I could delete one from my contacts, but now there's still, it's not in my contacts, but if I start writing his name, it comes up in, his address will go into my to mail. How do I totally delete his compromised email?
What email program are you using?
I'm using Google.
The Google website or a program on your computer?
I think it's just Google website.
Okay.
Most email programs also have, let me log into Google, see if it does too. They have a service called Previous Recipients.
Okay.
And what that does is it remembers anyone you ever got a message from as a recipient, so you can send a message to them.
Uh-huh.
And those are separate from your contacts, right.
Okay.
In most mail programs, there's a separate command for previous recipients.
Okay.
And Nick is
And there is an autocomplete,
Googling.
Which is what you're actually seeing. Having removed it from your
contacts
is great, but they will also be in auto complete.
Okay.
And what you want to do, you've already deleted it from contacts?
Yes.
Okay.
But he's got a second one, and it's not in my contacts, but when I put his beginning the initials of his name, it'll come up that I could send that address an email. And that's where I'm getting erroneous emails from.
Well, you can't stop the mail from coming in.
Okay.
You can create a filter.
Okay.
So when you get a bogus email from this person, you can create a filter that says just drop it in the trash.
Okay.
Right.
So I would wait until I get one in and then put it in the trash.
Yeah, and then you won't see it anymore. And as for deleting something from autocomplete, I haven't done that in forever. I think you just can write delete. I think you can just right click on it. What operating system? I mean, excuse me. What browser are you using?
Firefox.
Firefox. Okay. I think it's slightly different in Firefox. But you can, in fact, delete. What's happening is this is something called autocomplete, which is different from pulling it up in your
contacts.
Yeah. What you have to do, unfortunately, is clear all of them. There's a section in the Firefox settings.
Okay.
Called Clear Private Data.
Okay.
And that will clear them all.
Okay.
However, what I would suggest you try first is as you type the name in, you see a list of choices suddenly appear below it?
Yes.
Okay. Use the arrow key to get to the one you want to get rid of.
Okay.
And hit delete.
Okay.
I believe that works on Firefox the same way it works on a couple of other things.
All
right.
If
that doesn't work, then you will have to clear all private data.
Okay. Clear all private data.
Right.
Does it show you what your private data is so you know what you're deleting?
No.
Okay.
Which is why I would try the other thing first.
Okay. All right. And I thank you very much. Every week you give me some clue that it's something I can do.
Thank you so much. I love to hear that. And thank you so much for being a member.
Thank you.
We love to hear that too. You too.
Bye.
Now, I'm also seeing on my Gmail, I've got my contacts, and then there's another section down below called Other Contacts, and that's a list of anyone that I received a message from.
Oh,
and
right.
And it may be finding it there, too.
Right, right. Joanne may want to go in there and yeah. see if it's there as well.
When you log into your Gmail, it's not obvious, but there's a mail button where... You can click that button. There's a little down arrow next to it and switch to your contacts, and that will show you all your contacts. So you have my contacts. You have circles if you're part of G+. And then there's a section called Most Contacted, which is automatically generated by Google for all the people you mostly send messages to. And then there's an Other Contacts, and that is messages you've received from.
And really, Joanne should look through all of those sections
yeah. yep. and delete.
To make sure that there's no that there isn't a duplicate in there.
Yeah.
Right. But also, that autocomplete.
And it's also if you frustrating if you manually mistype someone's address, your computer remembers that mistyped address for you.
Right.
And it's part of that previous recipients that you need to delete.
Right.
And the autocomplete, which is harder to delete just one.
Well, like I said, yeah. you can arrow down to it and then hit the delete key.
And that may work. Or you might try right-clicking and delete.
For those of you who have accidentally gone to bad places in your browser,
yeah.
theoretically that works there too. So Steve's trying that right now.
I'm trying that right now.
Just to be sure. I know it works on a PC. I don't know if it works on a Mac. But that's important. We do have a person who wrote in an email, and I have a laptop. This is Edward. I have a laptop running Windows 7 and printing fine with wireless. I have a computer running Windows 8.1. It does not seem to communicate with the wireless printer. What can you suggest? I have Dance's Security Tango on the Windows 8.1. Nothing seems to help. I've uninstalled the printer and reinstalled it, and it works for a time or two and then doesn't communicate anymore. I've checked for updates. There are none. Okay, Eddie, what you don't tell us is what printer you have. If that printer does not have a real Windows 8.1 driver, it will eventually stop working in Windows 8.1. It may work a little bit, but not so much, honestly. Windows 8.1 drivers are different from all other Windows. How is this driver different from all other drivers? And
junk.
Well, and consequently, if it doesn't take, it doesn't save, it doesn't remain stuck in the system. So even if it works, it will not be there next time you boot up. The first thing you should do is go to the website of the manufacturer of that machine, of that printer, and see if they have a driver for, specifically for, Windows 8.1.
So if you're trying to use the Windows 7 driver, that may be part of the problem.
Yeah, it likely won't work well.
And then the other half of the issue is does the wireless keep working? Can you still look at web pages when the printer quits working? Because it may not be something in the printer. It may be something in the wireless connection in general.
Right. That's the other thing to check. And don't forget, folks, although we're almost done with the show, you can still give us a call, make the pledge, join the family, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And please pledge securely online at jazz901.org. You can do that all week for all those of you listening to the podcast. And there are hundreds of you. Everybody, call in. We want to thank Scott, Dolores, David, Larry, and Jeanette, Dave, Victor, and James for their very generous donations. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow. We'll be back next week with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 55 minutes after the hour, it's Soundbites on the purely member-supported Jazz 90.1.